It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get the first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. We would appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. Thrilled to have in studio with me a couple of my favorite people, Rick Turnquest. We collaborated on our voter's guide together, and a lot of people, I think it's helping them. I think it's a good tool as they're filling out their ballots.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of good feedback on it from family, friends, and people we've talked to in the presentations we're doing, including we'll be doing one more coming up this Monday night at Water's Edge Winery. And so I know tickets are going fast, so people need to, you know, go to your website and sign up for that as soon as possible before we're sold out.
Most definitely. We did one event there a few weeks ago, and it was so robust. I love Water's Edge Winery. I love the ambiance. The food's great. The wine's great. And the conversation is always robust there.
Yeah, it was very robust. And the interesting part was one item that I thought was relatively non-controversial turned out to be the biggest discussion point of all. And that was the same another time that we did the presentation as well. So I'm not going to spoil it by saying which one that was, but I was a little bit surprised. And clearly a lot of people still think that it's government's job to legislate morality. And you and I don't think that that's the case.
Well, and Alan Thomas was in studio last week, and he's another one of our great authors. And he had written a very good op-ed about that government should not legislate morality. And so I recommend people go to the website and check that out. And you can buy our tickets or buy your tickets there as well for the event on Monday night. Our voter's guide is there, as well as we're having an event tomorrow for the I'm a Trumpster guys up at 88 Drive-In Theater. It's a fundraiser to keep those bus wheels rolling. Interestingly enough, CBS News, Evening News is in... and they're with the guys. They were out yesterday just photographing what is going on there. And they may be up at 88 Drive-In Theater. So join us. The tickets are really reasonable. You can buy those at my website as well. Also in studio with me is one of my valued partners, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. It's great to have you here as well.
Thanks. Good to be back in studio.
And you said that you've been looking at the voter's guide as well.
I have. I have a lot of friends that are looking for an outlet and maybe weren't aware of your show. And I've kind of been turning them onto it. And they're looking for someone who's done the homework and the research to give them real feedback on some of these questions that they're just not getting anywhere else. So it's
thorough.
Good to see their feedback. It is.
It's very thorough, Rick. We put a lot of time into it. And you know, Lauren, I don't think a lot of people understand that there's two ways that something can, an issue can get on the ballot. It can either be referred by the legislature or it can be petitioned on by the people. And let's see, Rick, you're probably going to have to help me remember this. If it is a letter, like a Proposition E, or EE, which is the nicotine tax, that is referred by the legislature. And if it is a number, it is something that is being petitioned on by the people. And so if it has been referred by the legislature, there is a piece of legislation that backs that up. I didn't really understand that till about 3 or 4 years ago. And so we put the links to that. And so on the nicotine one, the piece of legislation is 50 pages long. Just on that alone, you need to say no. Steve, you're going to be joining us on Monday night, right?
Yes, I got my ticket, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, okay. That'll be great.
That will be awesome. That voice that you heard was our producer, Steve. I get to work with a great team here, and that is Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And each of you listeners, you are valued, you're treasured. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And Lauren, you may tell your friends, I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you, they are now replaying the show not only from 10 to 11, but 1 to 2 in the afternoon as well.
I did see that. I saw it on the site.
So it's kind of like morning, afternoon, and night. We have everything
everywhere
covered, that's for sure. Let's see. Let's go. We're going to be talking about Donald Trump in the third and fourth segment, Rick Turnquist.
Yeah, I think we need to review the president's reelection a little bit. And also, we were going to talk about a little bit about our voter guide, maybe some of the more important ones, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wrote a blog post several months ago, back in January, in fact, called We Must Reelect the President. It's on my website, toadvancefreedom.com. It's the third one down, and it's kind of a look at the successes of the Trump administration and why we should reelect Donald Trump. And, you know, there's been things that have changed since then, and we'll get into that. But, I reread it yesterday as I was trying to convince a person close to me to vote for Donald Trump. And, I think that it's aged well, and there's a couple things we could update to it. But on the whole, I still stand by what I wrote.
Were you a Trump? Well, we'll talk about that when we get into the third and fourth segment. So I normally do an inspiration quote, and I thought, well, it would be appropriate to quote Donald Trump. So here we go. He said, "The most basic duty of government is to defend the lives of its own citizens. Any government that fails to do so is a government unworthy to lead."
Well, he got that right.
He did get that right.
When we talk about the role of government, we say the role of government is to protect life, liberty, and property. And Donald Trump spoke to the first of those three.
And you know what is amazing? Now, did you watch the town halls last night? Lauren first, did you watch him?
I was out with my son, so I just listened to some of it on the radio. And to be fair, like I told you, my son is 16, and he's like, "Dad, these guys are just yelling at each other, and it's like an argument. Can we listen to something else?" So
yeah,
there you have it.
I think that has been the strategy, to try to make Trump look argumentative. And then people, you know, that virtue signal, they're kind of like, well, I'm above that. When he's trying to get his message out, you know, Savannah, what is it?
Guthrie.
You know, she asked about coronavirus. She never once mentioned Rick Turnquist, that he's been nominated four times for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Right. I didn't watch it either because it's a busy time at my work right now, and I wasn't able to do that. But you know, it's by now it's well known that the mainstream media is completely hostile to President Trump, and has been since he went down the escalator in the Trump Tower to announce his candidacy. So no surprises there. And I think that most Americans are tuned into the fact that the media is not fair to him, and bake that into their decisions about him.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about that in the third and fourth segment as well. Let's jump over here. Casper Stockham is on the line, and he is a candidate for Congress for Congressional District 7 here in Colorado. Casper, welcome to the show. Did you happen to watch the town halls last night, Casper?
No, I did not. We were at a Patriot rally here in Colorado at the Bandimere Speedway, so we had a couple hundred folks out. It was a great night.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit. We hit on this last week, and you and I did a podcast yesterday where we really delved into it, and that is President Trump and the Platinum Plan for Black America. And let's just talk a little bit more about that, because you think that this is something that is really great. And in fact, if Donald Trump can move the needle in the ethnic communities, and it looks like he is, he stands to be reelected, Casper.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's definitely moving the needle, and this Platinum Plan is not to help him win the election, because he's already moved the needle in the Black community significantly. This is like icing on the cake, because a lot of the things in this plan are continuations of things he's already done. But I was listening to you earlier mention about legislative morality, and I did a candidate forum, one and only candidate forum, with my opponent. He's afraid to come out of the basement, but
there's a lot of that going around, Casper.
Exactly. One of the things I mentioned, because he was all excited about a bill that the House passed. This is all setup questions, layup questions for him, and he was excited about a bill that the House passed that stopped boyfriends from getting from legally buying a firearm if they were accused of domestic violence. And I said, look, you can't legislate morality, okay, because if that person cannot purchase it legally, they're just going to purchase it illegally and still do the same crime, because they don't care, you know, what they're doing and stuff. So stopping them from legally purchasing a firearm is not going to do anything. And he was mad because the Senate didn't even take up the bill. So, you know, they're always trying to legislate morality. But anyway, the president's...
Well, and let's delve into that just a little bit more, because I don't think I'm familiar with it. But you're saying that if a boyfriend is accused of domestic violence, then they should not be able, the bill or the legislation that your opponent presented was that they should not be able to buy a firearm. Am I following you correctly on that, Casper?
He didn't present it at all, because he doesn't present anything. But the House signed it. The House voted on it and approved it and sent it over to the Senate, and the Senate just said no.
Okay, but I'm trying to drill down that there's only an accusation. There's no due process on this. Yeah. Am I following you on that?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They're just saying if he's accused, you know, then, you know, because we have to protect the women. Okay, like they really care about women at all and anything else
right.
that they do.
It's just an end run around the Second Amendment is what it was.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, let's, I wanted to clarify that. We have a couple of minutes. What's the things that you want to hit on this morning, Casper?
Yeah. So this Platinum Plan, like I said, is icing on the cake. And the biggest, not complaint, but criticism about the plan is, you know, they say, well, the president's doing it to, you know, get the black vote. Well, he's already made major strides to get more of the black vote this time anyway, because he's one of the few presidents that actually acknowledged, you know, that there is an opportunity to get the black vote and actually has gone after it and has launched things like Black Voices for Trump. I was there for that launch as well in Atlanta. That was a couple of years ago. And then I went back to Atlanta on the 25th of September, and he launched the Platinum Plan. And the Platinum Plan has four pillars. It's opportunity, security, prosperity, and fairness. And he has a host of different items in here that add on to what he's already doing and has done for the black community. In fact, I have a statement, and no one has challenged me on this statement yet. And President Trump has done more for the black community than the last four presidents combined, including a black president who was in office for 8 years. So he has done a lot for the black community.
You know, and our friends, Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas with I'm a Trumpster, what they are doing is showing up in these ethnic communities, which is kind of the first time that I've really seen that. They've come to Colorado to move the needle. And, you know, what they're doing is pretty gutsy work, Casper.
Exactly. It is, but it needs to be done. And the president gets it. I just wish the Republican Party got it, because if they did, this would be over. You know, Kim, I just joined a coalition of black congressional candidates. There's over 29 of us nationwide.
GOP candidates, right?
Yes, absolutely. GOP, Republican, black. Congressional candidates, and we're going to be launching a ad campaign here very shortly in the next few days, actually, pointing out the fact that if we won, the whole racial claims and everything else would be over.
Okay.
You know, and that's the only card they have.
Well, what Reggie and Johnny are doing is so important. What you're doing and these other candidates is really important. We're having an event tomorrow at 88 Drive-In Theater to keep these bus wheels rolling with the I'm a Trumpster guys.
Yes.
You can come out. We're going to have food trucks, as well as you can get your picture taken with the guys. You can go through the bus. You can buy your tickets at kimmunson.com. Casper, how can people adopt you and help you get you across the finish line here?
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate that. And I will be out there tomorrow as well. And I have a big 6x12 banner out at
awesome.
The drive-in, so it's going to be kind of cool. They can go to casper4colorado.com. We are looking for volunteers to help us get out all these yard signs. We have thousands of yard signs we need to get placed between now and election time. We have folks we have volunteers all over the city waving and banners and so forth.
Right.
So they can go to casper4colorado.com and join the team and help us take this over the goal line.
Perfect. And we will see you tomorrow, Casper Stockham.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Before we go to break, another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. And they have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And October is always Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Hooters Restaurants is helping with that. And so there's several things that you can do. You can purchase a pink drink, and part of that goes towards fundraising. You can donate $5 for the pink color change cup. You can fill out an endowment card for $1, and that'll hang on the wall. You can ring up the change to the round it up to the next highest denominator, I guess it is. And you can also, they have some great pink-themed merchandise. And all that will go to Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Hooters Restaurants is a great partner of mine. They have all kinds of specials. I like their fish and chips. I never even knew that their fish and chips were so good. So be sure and check that out. It's on their lunch specials. Go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. And we will be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. And a lot is going on at the website right now. There is our voter's guide, which Rick Turnquest, who is in studio with me, we spent a lot of time working on that. We're going to talk about that in the third and fourth segment. So that's there, and a great tool. And then also our event on Monday night at Water's Edge Winery. You can buy your tickets there. Tomorrow, the I'm a Trumpster guys, we're doing a fundraiser up at 88 Drive-In Theater. You can buy your tickets there as well. It's going to be a great day. The weather's supposed to be beautiful. So join us there. In studio, another guy that's in studio is Lauren Levy. Lauren, you are a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show.
Thank you.
And wanted to talk a little bit, first of all, about the mortgage market. Interest rates have been low. Is the election affecting it at all?
Not that we've seen. They say that mortgage rates are loosely connected to the Treasury, like the 10-year Treasury note, which for those that follow it have seen that it's been, you know, 0.6 to the high 0.7s for an extended period of time now. And that's due to the Federal Reserve doing not really stimulus, but pumping, backing the mortgage market, buying those securities on a monthly, daily basis. And so it's keeping rates low.
Is that risky? Is that setting us up for like the housing bubble thing back in 2008?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you could say values are going up, but they're not going up exponentially and crazy in all the markets. You know, they're maintaining, and that what they're doing is stopping this virus from causing the opposite of home values going down, people not being able to get loans because they're in there backing the market and being the buyer of last resort, which is allowing people to take advantage of low rates and is probably saving people from not being able to stay in their homes.
Okay. So I know that you have been able to get some rates for people with the number two, which is unbelievable for a 30-year.
Absolutely. And I think that's kind of standard right now, Kim. It's been that way for a little bit, for a couple months now. We're still on a daily basis getting people rates in the twos.
Okay. But there's a bit of a backlog now, right, because there's so much demand?
That's right. And what's happened is, you know, in some businesses, you know, if you run a grocery store, for example, and you have demand, you can hire fairly quickly. The training curve is not that high to have people stock shelves.
Sure.
Or when you want to hire more underwriters, they have to know the loan business and they have to be trained, and it's a lot of training. And so these lenders just are overwhelmed with the volume, and so it's just taking longer. But likewise, In lieu of that, they're extending rate locks oftentimes for free. So people are protected.
Okay.
The process is just a little slower, but the rates are honored, and we're not having to tell people, sorry, we can't get that rate anymore.
Okay.
We're just we're having to tell them it's going to be a little bit.
Okay. Now, with rates so low, people that are on fixed incomes, you know, used to be able to go to bonds and get yield there, and that's probably, that's not really there. So there's these reverse mortgages that you need to be careful on who you deal with on these, but that is a tool that people can use when they're moving into retirement, correct?
That's right. Reverse mortgages are very highly regulated because we're dealing with seniors. There are some fees that can be charged that, you know, it depends on who you work with. That's why it's important to know who you're working with. But it is a great opportunity for people who have, most people's largest asset potentially could be their 401k coming out of employment, but it's usually their home and their equity. And so the only way to tap into that is to get a loan that you have to make payments on, which doesn't help you when you're short money, mm-hmm. or sell it. And
you have to buy someplace else.
Yeah, and then you have
live.
To try to downsize, which in Colorado is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people don't want to move. They don't want to be told they can't stay in their neighborhood where they love their neighbors. And so a reverse mortgage, excuse me, allows them the opportunity to access the equity in their home and stay there but not increase their payments. Okay. It actually does the opposite. You don't have payments, but you can access those funds. So a lot of people are turning to it in the right situation to make up for the shortfall they're getting from income in other places.
Okay. And you had mentioned when we first, as I was trying to learn about this, that it is really important that people understand it and family members understand it so that there is no surprises as they move, you know, on into life. And so you would be a person that could really help them with that.
That's right. Whenever I talk to someone and have a consultation with them, I always try to get their adult children, because you have to be 62 to get a reverse mortgage. So mm-hmm. we're talking about adult children that are going to be there to help their parents as they age, to make sure they don't make any mistakes in the process when they're 90 or so to cause a foreclosure by accident.
Okay.
We want the children involved so that they can step in and mitigate that risk.
Just totally understand that. The best way to reach you is your phone number, right?
That's right. It's 303-880-8881.
Okay, 303-880-8881. And Lauren can help you with a refinance or a new, you know, a new mortgage or a reverse mortgage. So let's jump over here to another one of my great partners, and that is Karen Levine. She's an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Good morning, Karen. You're thinking it was a Monday.
RE/MAX Alliance.
And that number is 303-877-7516 for Karen, 303-877-7516. What's the new numbers regarding, you know, the metro market?
Well, the new numbers continue to look like the old numbers, which are new listings coming on the market in the Metro Denver area for the last 7 days. We've had about 1,650 new units, but 2,112 homes have gone under contract during that same period of time.
Okay.
And we've closed about 1,824 homes, which is great. People are getting into new properties, and sellers are selling, and buyers are just struggling with choice and competition, and especially in the lower end markets, but we're actually seeing a lot of competition throughout the marketplace. And so it's challenging. It seems that the story is the same throughout our state. And as we chatted about last time, new construction may be an option for a buyer who has time. But we, again, don't have a lot of developed lots ready to go. So the timeline is typically 8 to 12 months, depending on the builder and the permitting process for that city.
Now, I was actually out and about yesterday, and Castle Rock to the east, there is a lot of new build that is going on there, and really good-looking properties. And I was thinking about it. We talked about it last week, that it is good if you're thinking about a new build as well to have you on the side of the buyer's table as well, so that the buyer is represented. And I think a lot of people haven't realized that that is something that is important and that you can do.
Yes, and I encourage, if you're thinking about new construction or you're thinking about new housing on any level, that you reach out to me so that you understand the landscape, how I can best serve you and advocate on your behalf. And builders in the metropolitan area, just ask that I attend the first visit, and then I can be at the table with you. I can help you understand their contracts, which are very, very slanted toward the builder, so that you know what your risks are and what your obligations are. And a lot of times you're just super excited to get to do
right.
a new build.
It's like the smell of a new car, you know,
exactly.
a new build, you know.
Exactly. It's very similar.
And does it cost the buyer anything if they reach out to you and you're with them when they go through that process on a new build?
It doesn't. No, what happens, and it happens on the resale market as well, is the builder offers us what's known as a co-op, a cooperative commission. And my buyers that I work with, I do ask them to sign an exclusive buyer agency contract.
Makes sense.
And in that contract, they assure me that I'm going to get paid for my services, but they've instructed me to seek that payment from the seller or from the builder.
Okay.
And in the 30 years I've been doing this, I have been successful on all accounts.
Ah, what a record. What a record. So, okay, well, Karen Levine, people can reach you at 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. And I really appreciate the update. And again, you know, we've been friends for so long, I can highly endorse you. So you have
well,
a great weekend.
I appreciate that. You do the same.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to jump over here. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, I think is weighing in here. Jason, did you watch the town halls last night?
Well, I watched one of the town halls. I watched the Trump one. I haven't watched the Biden one yet. I have that on DVR. So what happened? Was there quite a contrast between the two?
You know, I didn't watch both of them, but I was just really frustrated with Samantha Guthrie, who was moderating the Trump debate. You know, I thought it was supposed to be questions between the audience and Trump, and then she would jump in and talk over him. And as Rick and Lauren and I mentioned, that she didn't mention once the fact that Trump has been nominated 4 times for the Nobel Peace Prize.
No, yeah, it's really surprising the way she behaved, considering what a high-quality person we all know she is from the Nicholas Sandman situation.
Yes, that's true.
That was sarcasm.
I mean,
really...
What she
super
did to that young guy was amazing. It was astonishing.
Yeah.
What's the markets saying right now? I've always thought, I was in the investment business a long time ago, that the markets are kind of, they gauge emotion. They kind of gauge what they think is going to happen in the future. And quite frankly, I don't think a Harris-Biden ticket is really going to be good for everyday people. I don't think it's good for investing. And when we talk about investing, you know, everyday people have their 401ks in the market, but the market seems to be pretty strong. What happened though yesterday?
You know, yesterday was kind of an interesting day, Kim. As you know, the futures were down over 300. The Dow opened down over 300, and then spent the rest of the day just kind of fighting its way back up. It didn't close positive, but it only closed down about 20 points. The rest of the indexes were the same, down right on the open and then recovering throughout the day. NASDAQ, S&P still also ended up down a little bit, but well off the lows. But I'll tell you, the small caps and the mid-cap indexes also starting off down for the day, and both of those ended up positive at the end of the day. So yesterday was a day of getting knocked down in the first round and then fighting back for the next 9 rounds and winning the fight for the most part.
Okay, well, we're bumping up against these highs again, and I think people should sit down and, you know, take a look at the portfolio balance and also a risk assessment. You and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management are experts in that, and would highly recommend that people reach out to you. One other thing that I know people are downloading, and that is that assessment that you did that analysis that you did regarding the Trump tax cuts, and that everyday hardworking people actually had a lot more money in their pocket, and they can get that at airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. That's an excellent analysis, Jason.
Well, thank you, Kim. I do appreciate that, and I would encourage people to take a look at that as well. If you don't really understand what the Trump tax cuts did to for the middle class, this will show you the numbers, which, you know, everybody's kicking around like this $2,000 number. Well, sometimes it's more than that. It just depends on, you know, the income level, married, single, how many kids, all that. But it definitely did help the middle class. It's an indisputable fact.
Okay, well, you can check that out, and I would recommend to have our voter's guide and your analysis as people are talking with their colleagues about who to vote for. Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Have a great weekend, Kim.
Will do. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is in studio with me. He's a great partner of the Kim Munson Show. And Rick Turnquist, my partner in crime, I would say, on creating this voter's guide on the issues on the Colorado ballot. We're going to go through that. We're going to talk about Trump. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
When politicians want to raise taxes, they're supposed to give you a say in the matter. They're not supposed to sidestep the law and make you pay more without your approval. But that's exactly what politicians are doing. And that's why we need Proposition 117. Proposition 117 gives us, the taxpayers, a voice. It allows us to vote on large fee increases, which we all know are just hidden taxes. For far too long, politicians in Colorado have raised the cost of car registrations, health insurance, and even hospital stays without giving voters a choice. They get away with it by calling their cost increases fees instead of tax hikes. Voting yes on Proposition 117 would change that and stop the hidden tax hikes. Vote yes on Proposition 117 to give Coloradans the voice they deserve. Paid for by Unite for Colorado. Katie Kennedy, registered agent.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get the first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcast and our most recent op-eds. Lots going on over at the website right now. You can download our voter's guide. Rick Turnquist and I spent a lot of time to create a very thorough voter's guide. We're going to talk about that in this segment here, as well as we're going to be doing an event on Monday night at Water's Edge Winery, Rick, where we'll be going through that and people can buy their tickets. It's just fun to get together and talk about these big ideas.
Yeah, it really was a lot of fun. Our first one back in September, we had a full house, and Jen and her team did a great job of serving food and wine to everybody, and we had some robust conversations around our recommendations. There was one item in particular where I wasn't expecting a conversation that ended up generating the most conversation. Mm-hmm. And you know, it just goes to show that, you know, we on the right are independent-minded people, and we don't all march in lockstep like our friends on the left do. And, you know, and I appreciate that. So whether people accept our recommendations or not, at least they are thinking about things, and they're working it through their own minds, their own value systems, and hopefully, you know, voting in accordance with what we're recommending.
Mm-hmm. And we hope that it's a tool. You may disagree with us, and we understand that, but we think knowledge is power, and that is why we're doing the event on Monday night. The way it works, you can buy your tickets for the event at my website, and then food and drink is a la carte, and always Chef D has something great going on, you know, from his menu. So be sure and join us. We have some tickets available. Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, you are just hair on fire busy with what's going on in the mortgage industry, but you said that you've appreciated the voter's guide.
Oh, absolutely. It's I think the majority of people are busy, and whether they're working from home or just in their basement, and it's great to have a place to go to get real information that's not put out there by people that are being paid to put it out there. And there's actually been real research done, and you can actually get a reliable answer on without having to seek it out yourself, because I personally don't have the time to seek out all the information I would need to make an honest vote on these items.
Well, but we've put it together. We have all the links. So on the different issues, you can link it. I mentioned on this Proposition EE, which is this $294 million tax increase. They say it's going to be on nicotine products. And the taxes will become so onerous that I think it'll create an illegal market, which that's you know, that's really out of balance. But the legislation that put that on the ballot is 50 pages long. You can look at it if you want. We've got the link there, but we're just making the case that, you know, James Madison said, if the laws are so voluminous that everyday people can't understand it, you just vote no on that just right off the bat.
Exactly.
You know, and Lauren, somebody said to me, normal, and I think you recommended this, Rick, many times, it's just vote no on everything. Not this time, right, Rick?
Well, that's right. You know, 4 years ago, I did a voter guide on my, well, not exactly a voter guide. I just wrote several blog posts on my blog to Advance Freedom. And it was real easy because each one was titled Vote No on Amendment Blah. And I recommended no votes on all of them. But this year, there's some, you know, we actually recommend yes votes on 6 of the 11. So some of these things are very important, and they're going to have significant impact on our lives, whether they're adopted or not adopted.
Okay. And Lauren, people have been reaching out to me regarding judges, and it really, Rick and I talked, and it really wasn't in our bandwidth to do that. A friend of mine has actually done a really interesting analysis, which is at the dcgop.org website, and then you hit on judges. And so that would be for the 18th Judicial District. Some of the listeners have reached out on some of the other districts, and this weekend I'm going to be working on trying to find some more information. But that is, it has actually a kind of a big overview on judges, and that would be a good tool as well, Lauren.
I think that would be awesome. I can only speak for myself, but I think I'm not alone. I think a lot of people will either just, if they're not educated, they don't know, they'll either just skip over it, mm-hmm. and so they just won't even vote on that item, or they'll just vote for the person who's in office to be like, oh, they must be doing good. Mm-hmm. They got there somehow, and they'll just vote to retain, mm-hmm. especially on the judges, because mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you've been dragged into court.
You probably don't know.
Or you're a lawyer, you don't know, you know? And sometimes you see some on high-profile cases on TV or whatever. But it's good to have a place to go to get information.
And she actually has given an overview on her thought process. And, you know, if there's some people that just vote no on all the judges. And if, in fact, they were actually, you know, were not retained, then Governor Polis would be able to appoint all of those judges. So strategically, you know, there's really things to think about on that. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and talk about... I think you had four issues you wanted to talk about on the voter's guide, Rick.
Well, I think there's four items that I think are more important than the others in terms of what's happening or what is best for Colorado and for the country as a whole. One of those is Proposition 113. We're recommending a no vote on that, and that one is the one to adopt the agreement to elect U.S. presidents by the national popular vote. And this was one that was rammed through the Democrat supermajority-controlled legislature in 2019. It was Senate Bill 19-042, and it basically disenfranchises, if this is adopted, if people vote yes on this, then it will disenfranchise Colorado voters in the presidential elections going forward. And it's actually a subversion of the United States Constitution, because, you know, the way to change the way the Constitution works is to amend it. But this National Popular Vote Compact is actually an end run around the Constitution and subverts the intention of the founders when they created the Electoral College.
Well, and it takes our vote and our voice and gives it to L.A., San Francisco, Chicago, New York. Lauren, I don't think that's a great idea.
It's funny. I was just caught up in a conversation at the View House the other night with a bunch of friends, men and women, and we were talking about this. And first, this is where the voter guide helps, because the first part was us just trying to figure out what the heck this thing was even saying. Because mm-hmm. do you vote? Yeah, because it kind of already exists, right? I mean, like, Colorado's voted to join it at the congressional level, is what I'm reading. And now the voters are saying, do we want to follow that along? And so you're like trying to figure out, well, where do we stand currently? Mm-hmm. And then what's the end impact? And we just kept saying that we want California deciding for us.
That's the bottom
line.
Who
becomes president every time.
And that's, hopefully everybody said no.
Yeah, they all did, yes.
Okay, good. What's the next one?
The next one is the gray wolves, introduction and management of gray wolves. You want to talk about that one?
That is so interesting. So this is introducing gray wolves west of the Continental Divide. And this is a real assault on our farming and ranching community. But yet it's your Boulder Denver Democrats that are putting this on the ballot. And it is super unfair to have somebody in a completely different region, you know, vote on to put a predator that is going to affect your livelihood in a different region. It is just really not fair. And it's an assault on their property rights. And I jokingly said, if Boulder wants to have gray wolves, then Boulder can put gray wolves in Boulder, not on the west side of the Continental Divide. So we are a hard no on that.
Yeah, that one's a real bad one, and it would, you know, really impact the property rights of farmers and ranchers throughout the state. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
there'll be far-reaching consequences of this.
And these are not little cute, cuddly animals. These are wild predators that don't belong here. They're not indigenous to Colorado. So why would we bring them here?
And they kill for sport.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And, you know, and people like to hike, you know, on the western slope and hunt. And so we're a strong no on that.
Terrible idea. Next one is Proposition 117. We heard an ad for that during the last break. This one would actually require voter. It strengthens the taxpayer bill of rights. Mm-hmm. By requiring
Tabor,
by requiring voter approval of certain new state enterprises. And just real quick, you know, there's a loophole in Tabor that allows government to create new programs and call them enterprises. But they still have the force. They're still able to use the force of government to take money from taxpayers to fund these government programs. And amendment Proposition 117 would close that loophole.
Because they call it a fee, and they don't have to ask
or
us.
Or a premium. So they're, you know, by calling it a fee, they're evading the spirit and intent of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. But this is something that would create a requirement for voter approval of any enterprise that generates more than $100 million in revenue in its first 5 years. And we're a strong yes on this one.
Sounds like a good idea, Lauren.
Yeah, this is one that I'm curious about because I haven't heard about much of it. You know, I hear your ads, and but I've heard about the gray wolves. You know, I've seen it on TV. But I've not seen much about this one.
Okay,
so it's interesting.
Yeah, and this is to basically, as Rick mentioned, to put some teeth back into Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, that says, "Hey, PBIs, you politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, if you want to, you know, take more of our money, you just need to ask us. It's like good manners."
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
That's right.
Okay, next one.
And the last one is Proposition 118. We're a hard no on that one. That's the paid family and medical leave insurance program. And, you know, we've talked about this several times. I've written several blog posts on it. And go to my website, toadvancedfreedom.com, and you'll see the top blog post on my blog page is More Voices Against Family. So not only have I written against this, but several other people have as well. The Common Sense Institute did an in-depth study of this program and what would be created in Colorado if this Proposition 118 passes. And it's just a government boondoggle. We create a huge government program that would get out of control. And while they talk about the benefits of being able to have wage replacement while you're coping with family, with life events, it still is funded through taxes, and it would impact people disproportionate at lower income levels, and there's better ways to do these kinds of things than a big monster government program.
And they really are playing to the vulnerabilities of what happens in our lives. And they're playing to that to institute a new program that starts with a tax, which is just under 1%. But then it puts the power, this taxing power, in an unelected, unaccountable bureaucrat that can raise those taxes. It's an unsustainable program, but it's just another program that government wants to get in place. They're going to have to choose who can use it, who can't. It's a bad one.
And just to point out how bad it is, this idea, what's on the ballot is very similar to four previous bills that have been introduced in the state legislature, and it's failed every time. Whether the Democrats are in charge or divided government, it has failed every time. And this year they couldn't even introduce one because they couldn't decide on what kind of program they wanted to try to implement. So it's a bad idea. We've seen it in other states. It's a bad idea. And we're a strong no on 118.
And on that, Lauren, it starts out as just under 1% tax, and it'll be split between the employer and the employee. But not everybody will take advantage of it, but yet everybody will have to pay for it. And, people that are wanting to buy a home or refi, 1% of their pay, that adds up.
It adds up especially, but Rick's right. It's proportionate to the people that make less money. If you're taking money away from people who are already struggling, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. So we're going to go to break. I have in studio with me Rick Turnquest and Lauren Levy. But before we do that, another one of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are a family-owned business. They are located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And whether or not you are a sportsman, an angler, a hunter, or a military personnel, a collector, want something for your kitchen, they work with the best blade makers throughout the world. Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go. They're open 7 days a week. Go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Rick Turnquest and Lauren Levy.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
The silent odorless killer, CO2. Your house has a monitor. Does your mask? Masks can actually be pretty dangerous, according to the National Institutes of Health. They say that inhaling high levels of carbon dioxide, CO2, may be life-threatening. OSHA does not recommend masks in oxygen-deprived environments, specifically elevations over 3,000 vertical feet. The mask mandate is not for your health. It's killing you one breath at a time, thanks to selfish Governor Polis, paid for by FECUnited.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website, kimmunson.com. Sign up for a weekly newsletter. Buy your tickets for our event on Monday night at Water's Edge Winery regarding our salon series on our voter's guide. And buy your tickets for tomorrow. We're going to be doing a very fun event with the I'm a Trumpster guys, raising money to keep those bus wheels going into the ethnic neighborhoods here in the metro area. And that is all at the website. In studio with me is Rick Turnquest, my partner in creating this voter's guide, which is very thorough, and Lauren Levy, valued partner with Polygon Financial Group. Before we get to why Trump, Rick Turnquest. I did want to mention another one of the, we only talked about four. There's 11 questions on the ballot. And Proposition 115, you knew it as Initiative 120. And this is prohibiting late-term abortions here in Colorado. And again, we really have delved into it. If you have questions, I'm getting text messages from those that want to defeat this, and they're not telling the truth on that. And with our voter's guide, nobody's paid us. We have looked at this from a freedom standpoint, what is best for everyday people, and we've really gone through that issue as well. So we are a yes on prohibiting abortions after 22 weeks here in Colorado. So Rick Turnquest, let's jump over here to why Trump. Was Trump your first guy when he was running for president?
He was not. I was a Ted Cruz guy, along with many other Republicans in the state. I went to the state assembly in 2016, and I remember, you know, I was down in the Springs. I remember working to try to get to nominate a slate of delegates to the national convention who were in support of Ted Cruz. And even as late as the second Friday in October of 2016, I had a lively conversation with a couple of friends of mine about, you know, voting for Trump. I was not planning to, but when I sat down to fill out my ballot and I thought about it, you know, and I actually did some research into elections. And since, you know, the Libertarian Party was formed, the Libertarian Party has received exactly one electoral vote in presidential elections. So it's really a binary choice. And if I said to myself, if I wake up tomorrow morning and Hillary Clinton is the president-elect and I didn't do everything in my power to prevent that, then I'll never forgive myself. And so I with extreme reluctance, filled out my ballot and voted for Donald Trump. And since then, I have just been, you know, delighted that I did. Donald Trump's certainly a larger than life figure, but on the whole, he's done a good job as president, and I think he's doing a lot of the right things in terms of the culture and the divide that we have in this country right now, and fighting against the left. And I think that's probably very important. So as we sit down to fill out our ballots now, you know, Joe Biden's on the ballot, and the guy he's just not even there. I think it's elder abuse running him for president. I think his wife and his family and his handlers should be ashamed of themselves for what they're putting this elderly gentleman
through. Who's really on the ballot, I think, is Kamala Harris.
Yeah, and she's terrible as well, not just because of who she is, but because of her record and her policy goals.
Well, and, you know, we really don't talk about personality. I mean, it's the policies that I'm so concerned about with her.
Exactly. And so, you know, I wrote a blog post on my website, toadvancedfreedom.com, it's, you know, back in January. It's called "We Must Reelect the President." I've reread it again yesterday when I was, talking about this with a person close to me, and it's aged well. There's a few things I would update to it, but Lauren, what's your thoughts on President Trump?
You know, it's funny. I have a lot of conversations about the election with people, just like anybody else, and one thing that keeps coming back to me is you don't have to like the candidate necessarily. It's the platform you're voting for. And so, you know, if someone asked me, you know, do I think Donald Trump might be the guy I want to go hang out with? Maybe not necessarily, you know. I don't believe in everything the guy's done on a personal level. But you're voting for a platform. You're voting for the issues that affect your life and the party that backs the issues that you believe in. And that's led by a candidate. And so I think when you think about it that way, it's not about the candidate themselves. It's about the party and the platform.
Well, and there was a recent poll that came out that said 56% of Americans, even with the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, think that they're better off now than they were 4 years ago. That normally would be a slam dunk for a reelection. But we've got a couple of minutes, Rick. I want you to finish this up. How you think...
Well, I encourage everybody to read my blog post on "We Must Reelect the President." A couple things I'd update to it is, you know, the economy was doing really well before this COVID-19 virus hit us, and you know, I think that as we reopen and as we continue to work through this, I think we have a better chance of a stronger recovery with Donald Trump in the White House than we would with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in the White House. You know, employment has, you know, better, household income is better. You know, healthcare is a boondoggle that is not easily solved. The ACA has been, by any objective measure, a complete failure.
I know a young person that accidentally didn't sign up. And, okay, this is a kid just getting out of college. He was dinged $1,000.
Yeah.
Healthy kid.
And the fact is, we should get government out of healthcare markets altogether. But that's a discussion beyond the scope of the time we have left. On foreign policy, Donald Trump's been more successful than I expected. You know, he's been nominated for Nobel Peace Prizes. He's brokered historic peace deals in the Middle East, and the media, because they hate him so much, hasn't really given this the reporting they should. But you know, this is a big deal, what he's been able to accomplish in the terms of foreign policy, and just, you know, the culture. You know, I know that we're running short on time, but you know, we want somebody who's going to fight for the American way and what's left of our constitutional republic. And Donald Trump may not have gone into the White House as a conservative, but he's governed as a conservative. Yes. And he is kind of forced into it by the unrelenting hatred of the left, you know, to be a conservative and to govern as a conservative.
Conserving this American idea.
And so I think that, you know, the best chance of, you know, of holding the line and keeping our country from sliding into complete oblivion is to reelect Donald Trump, give him 4 more years, and then let's work on developing the bench to elect another Republican president in 4 years.
Rick Turnquist, thank you so much for being in studio. It's always great to have you, and people can join us, buy your tickets for our event on Monday night. Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, great to have you in studio as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're going to love this quote, Rick. Donald Trump, he says, every day I wake up determined to deliver a better life for the people all across America that have been ignored, neglected, and abandoned. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.